Shall we come to the Gospel by Luke, please? And in chapter 1. Nice to be with the saints again. Nice to be here. 22 years since I stood on this platform. God has been good, and he has answered prayer. I'd like to look at this verse, please, verse number 13 of Luke, Gospel, chapter 1. But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. God will bless, I'm sure, the reading of his word. How interesting it is to discover that the Old Testament ends with a remnant, and the New Testament begins with one. And as the Old Testament ends, we remember that they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the book of remembrance was kept. The Lord hearkened and heard them, and the book of remembrance was kept. How delightful is fellowship, dear saints of God. I hope we appreciate the fellowship of each other. They that feared the Lord spake often one to another. That little remnant in Malachi looked for the Son of Righteousness to come with healing in his wings. They had in their vision the coming of the Lord. They looked for that moment with expectancy, expecting their Messiah to come, expecting the fulfillment of the Old Testament prophetic word. They looked with expectancy. They met together, and they talked together, and they spake often one to the other. You'll notice not about each other, but to each other. How delightful that fellowship is. The Lord hearkened and heard them. Isn't it interesting that the Lord has heard our prayers tonight? Not only our prayers, but our conversations over the day. I wonder, dear saint of God, as you think of these things, if we ever take into account that God has listened to our conversation, the one with the other. These remnant people of old, the Lord has called them Jews, and I'm sure that you and I, in our Christian experience, have met many saints who are really shining for God like a diamond, like a jewel. And amidst the backsliding of the nation, and amidst the turning away of that nation from God, there was found a remnant that was faithful to his name, that gathered together and had fellowship together, and spake often the one to the other. What filled their vision, what filled their hope, was the coming of the Lord. And it's interesting that the Old Testament closes just after that. It closes in the period of the Medes and the Persians. And it's interesting that a period of 400 years will pass, called, of course, the silent years, when there was no voice heard from God. The heavens were as brass. The heavens were silent as another world empire came upon the scene, the Grecian Empire. Under Alexander the Great came upon the scene. And, of course, it's interesting that God never spoke to any prophet. No prophet ever spake for him during 400 years of silence. And so we come to the opening of the New Testament, and we listen to words like this: Fear not, Zacharias, thy prayer is heard. They're the first couple to be mentioned in a delightful remnant of people as the New Testament opens. We have Zacharias and Elizabeth. We have, of course, not only them, but we have Mary, we have Joseph, Mary and Joseph. We have Simeon and Anna. We have John the Baptist. This delightful remnant of people that are found as the New Testament opens, that have been in touch with God and are found together, witnessing and working and walking. And of course, regarding this couple, Zacharias and Elizabeth, they walked in all the commandments of the Lord. Blameless. What a delightful couple they were. They were godly. They were witnessing. They were walking. As Christian conduct should be. That's how we should be in our day and age. They lived in a difficult day too. The Roman Empire was upon the scene. And it's interesting that during this fourth world empire, the Roman Empire, the Grecian Empire had gone, and the others had gone. The Babylonian Empire, and the Medes and the Persians, and the Grecian Empire had all gone. And the Roman Empire comes upon the scene. And at such a time, we are introduced to two births in the New Testament. The birth of John the Baptist, and the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, it's interesting to notice that there are five fear nots at the opening of this gospel. In this gospel, this is the first fear not. My dear saints of God, we're living in tremendous days. Tremendous days. Tremendous development in our days. And of course, tremendous evil. Like a mighty tidal wave is sweeping over our lands. Governments are failing in your country too, as well as ours. And governments are failing. And the word of God is being despised, indeed abandoned, in many quarters. And men in high places are failing. And of course, the nations are falling. And of course, at such a time as this, we seek in our testimony, in our ministry, in our walk and in our talk, to uphold the standards that are falling in the world. And not only in the world, but are falling in the assemblies. And we seek, by God's help and by God's grace, to keep these standards high and not to let them slip. And so we pray that God will give us the grace and the power to live for him in this evil, dark day. You know, when Saul of Tarsus was saved on the Damascus Road, he said, "Lord, what will thou have me to do?" He was to become the apostle to the Gentiles. And how interesting that is. This bigoted Jew became the apostle to the Gentiles. He would need power to live. He would need tremendous grace from God. This changed man at conversion on the Damascus Road was given the grace to live for God. When I come over to 2 Timothy, his last letter, I learned this, that he is given the grace to die. My dear saints of God, we need to learn this, that the God who has saved us gives us the grace to witness for him, gives us the grace to go on for him. And when a little day of service is over, and when he calls us home, he will most surely give us the grace to die. But we're not looking for death. We're looking for the coming of the Lord. As these remnant in the Old Testament and the remnant in the New Testament, what filled both their vision and their hope was the coming of the Lord. That marked them. That was their hope. And they lived daily, hourly, in joyful anticipation of the coming of the Lord. To them it was their Messiah. To them it would be their King. To them he would rule in righteousness. To them he would dispense with all the unfaithfulness and unrighteousness of a Roman Empire, and all the greed and all the power that marked them, and all the corruption within them. Their Messiah, when he comes to the throne, would dispense with all this and rule in equity and in judgment. And they waited for that, and they longed for him to come and take up his rightful place on the throne of his father David. And they were filled with joyful expectation in the coming of the Lord. That's what marked their conduct. That's what marked their thought. That's what marked their witness, was they were filled with a joyful anticipation of the coming of the Lord. Let's transfer that now into the church age. Let's lift these principles. We look around us, and there is nothing around us from which we can gain any encouragement or any hope. The situation now is absolutely hopeless. The world is becoming darker and darker as the days go on. And you know, and I know, that the darkest hour is the hour before the dawn. And we too, like these remnant people, we wait with joyful expectancy on the coming of the Lord. They looked for him to come in manifestation and sit upon the throne. We look for him to come silently, swiftly, suddenly, at the rapture of the church. And if that blessed truth grips my heart, it will most assuredly affect my conduct and my talk and my fellowship with each other. My dear saints of God, these are very challenging things. And you and I, as we look around, we lift this little verse and we say, fear not, fear not, thy prayer is heard. Now we've had a variety of prayer tonight. And in a company like this, I'm sure there is a great variety of prayer. I judge I'm speaking to praying people. People who pray daily. And people who read the Word of God daily. I trust I'm speaking to saints of God like that. And we fear not, because we await the coming of the Lord. You know, this prayer that Zacharias and Elizabeth had is interesting, most interesting. They were married, of equal yoke they were married. Of delightful sameness of interest they were married. They were joined together, if you like, to use the New Testament language, in the Lord. And of course their interest was in him and in divine things, and God had brought them together in holy matrimony. And they prayed. And they prayed in their married life for a child. And that prayer was withheld. It wasn't that their prayer wasn't answered. God always answers prayer. Always. He does not always answer prayer the way we would sometimes like. Sometimes God says no. And this couple, this delightful couple, during their marriage years together, here they are, still walking in all the commandments of the Lord, blameless, still living in the hope of joyful expectancy, even although the circumstances of their life might have been dis- disappointed. They honored the Lord. They accepted from him that their prayer would not be answered. Naturally speaking, that's what they would think. Now they are past age. Now beyond the ability of nature to produce. And one day Zechariah, attending in his course, possibly the first and only time in his lifetime, but we won't go into that, we don't have the time to go into all that now. But let me say this about Zacharias. He is found in his place, doing what he should be doing, working where he should be working, doing what the Lord had appointed him to do. He is found serving in the temple. And it's interesting that that's where you and I should be, exactly where the Lord would have us be, exactly doing what the Lord would have us do. And you know, dear brother, it's interesting, sometimes the Lord calls us to go further afield. Sometimes the Lord calls many just to stay at home. We need to learn that the folks that stay at home are as important as the folks that go further afield. And the folks that go further afield are as important as the folks that stay at home. I liked the comment of one dear missionary that gave a report of planes in Scotland. He said, I am grateful, he hadn't been home for 10 years, he says, I am grateful for the folks that have maintained assembly testimony all the time I have been away. I thought it was a lovely touch for a servant of the Lord to say. You see, sometimes the missionaries and the men that go across the field for whom we pray every day and support, sometimes we forget that the maintenance of the assembly of God depends on people who will stay. Some people have to look after the stuff. Anyway, time's going on, and let me just say that this prayer is a most unique prayer in the sense that it was going to be answered positively according as they had prayed. They had prayed for a child, but naturally speaking now, it was beyond them. And an angel appears to Zechariah. No wonder he had to say, fear not. The very sight of an angel here in the sanctuary was something indeed for one to behold. But to say this, fear not, Zechariah, thy prayer is heard. Zechariah might have said to him, but listen, that's years ago. We prayed when it was possible. We've stopped praying now because it's not possible. But he failed to understand that all things are possible for God. There is nothing that is impossible with God. And you know, thy prayer is heard. That teaches me a very lovely lesson. God never forgets. Never. He may choose not to remember, as he has done with our sins, but he never forgets. And their prayer is as fresh as the day it was said, or the days or years it was mentioned. It is still before God. It is here. This is what we call a timeless heiress. And it's still before God, and God will answer in his time. And he will bring about a miracle, a marvelous birth. in the man, the forerunner of our blessed Lord Jesus Christ, John the Baptist. Why am I saying this? Well, we've just heard prayers. Keep praying, thy prayer is heard. Perhaps I'm speaking to someone and you've prayed for years for a loved one, for the family, for those near and dear. I want to say, keep on praying. Thy prayer is heard. God never forgets a prayer. The eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. My dear saint of God tonight, fear not. Fear not. Don't be downcast because it hasn't happened yet. God will move when he moves. The sovereign Lord of the universe is our God, and he will move, not when we want things to happen, but when he determines in his sovereign will and counsel, he will answer prayer. So my little ministry tonight in the shortness of time is this. Fear not. Keep on praying. But if you think it's past praying, keep on praying. For thy prayer is heard. We pray for the conference, thy prayer is heard. We pray for the sick, thy prayer is heard. We pray for sinners, thy prayer is heard. Pray for encouragement for the saints, thy prayer is heard. You have personally prayed for loved ones over perhaps many years. Fear not, thy prayer is heard. May God bless his love.